Oh my goodness. And in this episode of Person of Interest, welcome back. I'm Natalie Jones. We were talking with Laura Veer. So I want to start off by saying thank you so much to everybody who took the time to listen to the last episode. And thank you so much to Andy for being so brave and so bold for sharing her story and her journey and struggles with eating disorders. She empowered me to talk about it for the first time ever, really, in my life, which has been super dope and terrifying. And that's where the good stuff, I feel like the good stuff in life is super dope and terrifying at the same time. So proceed. When you get those pings in your belly, you know that you're doing some right. So thank you so much, everybody, for the love and support. If you or somebody you know is suffering from an eating disorder, you can log on to eatingrecoverycenter.org and nationaleatingdisorders.org to find some help there. You ain't alone. And just talking about it will really change your life. It is, I feel like I'm a different person talking about it. It's still unsettling and terrifying. But once again, that's what the good stuff in life is. So Laura Veer, she came on the podcast in December of 2019. Now, this is a repost of that conversation. For everybody who's new here, she is an amazing woman who gave birth to a beautiful stillborn baby girl named Scout in 2017. And of course, it rocked her world. And she gave us the most candid expression of her experience with it. And it's beautiful. It may be my favorite episode to date. So I'm reposting it today because her and I sat down earlier this week and had an update conversation of what's going on in her world now and what it's like to be a mom now and where she's been. She's changed and grown a lot since the last conversation. So I want to give you guys a preemptive of this is the conversation from December 2019. A new one is coming up this week. If you like the podcast, like, subscribe, leave a review, you know, do all of those things. And enjoy. This is Laura Veer. And if you have any questions or comments or anything, you can always email me at natalie@wkrq.com. Happy Mental Health Awareness Month. 1 in 5 people are living with mental illness every single day. So get comfy and uncomfortable. Here we go. Why?
Why? Because I think it's so important to tell your story. And if you can help one other person, then why would you not? You know?
What do you want to talk about in your story? Get comfortable.
Yeah. Let me think about this. What are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about the experiences and...
No. Just be you.
Yep.
We'll just say it really boldly.
We're going to talk about the experiences I've gone through to get to where I am today. Yeah. That sounds good to me.
That sounds really good to me.
Yeah.
I love talking to you, Laura.
I enjoy talking to you, Natalie.
So whatever you got to say. What do you want to...
Well, I'll start with... when I met my husband, I knew I was going to have kids with him. I knew I wanted to have kids with him, and I knew he was going to make a great father, and we would make a great family together. And I didn't know that was going to happen sooner than later. And we found out that we were pregnant a month before our wedding. And as I was getting married in a Catholic church, I was 13 weeks pregnant. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love you.
And I realized, though, Gus needed to be there. We didn't know what sex it was at the time, but now that I know it was Gus, but he needed to be there with us at the wedding, and it definitely made our marriage turn into a family a lot sooner than I thought it was, but it was exactly what we needed to happen.
Yeah.
So I had Gus, and he was born on January 11th, 2015, and his birth was pretty crazy. We were at the hospital for 3 days before he came, and it ended up in an emergency C-section.
Wow.
Yes. And he started to have irregular heartbeats at the end.
Okay.
And now knowing what I've gone through then after, knowing that now I'm so glad he was safe and everything was fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was just a long process, but it was beautiful and it was cold that day that he was born. But it was a perfect fall, or not fall, winter. It was a perfect winter day with us. And I just remember when he was born, it just felt so good and right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it was supposed to go.
Yes, it was. So then,
let me just say, he is the cutest kid in the world. He really is. He's got such a distinct look to him that is so much his dad. A lot of you too.
Yeah.
He's just a replica of you too.
He is, and he's also such a sensitive kid that, and such a loving kid that I'm learning so much from being his mother.
Yeah.
That he has given me so many gifts that I. The gift of being a mother, number one, but also just so many gifts of learning how to parent. And I don't feel like that's what I was trying to say, but I'm trying to say that I just feel like it's amazing when what you can learn from your children,
mm-hmm.
and how you are when you're raising them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good reassuring feeling.
Yeah.
Very proud of yourself.
Yes, it is.
It's good.
It is proud, and then you're also like, what am I doing?
I feel like I keep telling myself now that I am 34 and I've seen a lot of life. I'm like, I think I'm going to fuck my kids up less because I'm not as dumb as I was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When, like, that was, like, the normal
exactly.
time to have kids. I'm like,
right.
I don't know, I'm a little bit smarter now. Does that mean I'm not going to fuck them up as much? All right.
Maybe
not taking any handouts.
But I think we just need to, like... You know, do a little better. I mean, we don't even have to do better. We just have to try.
That's all you can do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go back to your story.
Yeah, so back to my story. So we had Gus, and it was great, and it was beautiful. And then when he was like 1.5, we decided, okay, he needs a sibling.
Yes.
And because we knew we wanted to have a big, big family. And so we started trying, and... Then we found out we were pregnant, and then on December 10th, I had a miscarriage, and I was 8 weeks along, and it was devastating. It was lonely and just very. I was very quiet. Too. I just didn't know what to do with it. Especially when I was out, I was like, I just had a miscarriage, but no one knew I was just pregnant because you didn't tell anybody in the beginning because they say, yeah. Don't tell, like all those things. So it was hard because I didn't know how to bring it up to people that I had just had a miscarriage. And I know so many friends of ours and people that have had miscarriages, but people don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
Or they don't, they talk about it later or when you say, I have a miscarriage. They're like, I have a miscarriage too. I had a miscarriage too. And then you're like, whoa. And then you realize it's 1 in 4 and it happens all the time. And they're saying now that they even think it happens more than that. So miscarriages are tricky, I feel like, because it was a baby. We were planning for it. I know the baby's due date and the date, and I, so what are the words that I'm trying to say right now? The words that I'm trying to say that it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to process, but it's also, yeah, we're just going to say that. So then after the miscarriage, we knew we wanted to try again right away. And then 3 months later, we did get pregnant. And when we got pregnant we didn't want to find out again because we liked the not knowing the sex and everything. And my pregnancy was good. I kept having things that were maybe going to happen or this or that, preeclampsia or so when I had, so with Scout, I had I blew my back out first of all, and then I couldn't carry our son, who then just broke his femur.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he was in a cast for 5 weeks, a full body cast, or up to his chest.
Oh, my God.
So I couldn't carry him or anything like that. And then after that, they thought I had the gestational diabetes, but I didn't have that. Then they had the preeclampsia, then all these other things. But everything kept being fine. Then on Thanksgiving, woke up and had some bleeding, and anytime I'd see blood from just from the miscarriage I had before, it just would scare me.
Yeah.
So I went to the hospital right away, and they did, I was 37 weeks at the time, and they did a non-stress test for 3 hours, and everything was fine. The baby was fine. Everything looked good. And they said, just, you know, tell us, come back when you're, when you go into labor. Mm-hmm. And my doula was there too, and so that's what we did. And so then we went home, and then 4 weeks later, contractions did start on December 8th. They started at night, and as we were watching Bad Santa 2, which
it's I'm a like, movie. It's funny,
right? Yeah,
but now it's forever ruined. Damn
horrible.
It. Damn it.
Christmas in general. So, yeah, our whole house was decorated. I had all the Christmas presents taken care of. Everything was ready to go. We were just waiting for this baby to come. And we go to the, in the middle of the night, my contractions were still going. They were about, started out 17 minutes apart, then they were 5 minutes apart. Or not that drastic, but yeah, over time. But then when I woke up at like 5 a.m., I, noticed they were 5 minutes apart, but they didn't hurt that much. So I was like, I'm a badass. Like,
yeah.
Because I didn't go into labor with my son. I had to be induced with him. So I was like, maybe I just, these contraction things aren't really that bad for me.
Yeah.
But they are. that's a lie. But so anyways, I tried to, the doula says, take a shower, do this, do that, whatever. And then she came over, and when she came over, she was like, when's the last time you felt the baby move? And I was said, in the shower. And then she's like, let's drink some juice to see the baby movement or anything. And I did. And I said, I still don't feel the baby, but she didn't seem worried. So I thought everything was fine too. I was 41 weeks pregnant. Like everything was going to be fine. So then I, we go to the hospital, and my mom is with us and my husband and the doula, and we go and we get checked in, and we go into the, triage room number 18, which is a lucky number of mine, which I thought was a lucky sign. But maybe it, I don't know. But so we go in there, and the lady, the nurse, who was very kind, came in with a Doppler and tried to find the heartbeat, and she couldn't find the heartbeat. But that was normal because Scout, or the baby, they could never find the heartbeat with the Doppler because she was always moving. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was fine. And I also heard a really fast heartbeat in the background. So I was like, she just must have missed it. Then she said, I want the resident to come in just to check because this doesn't seem right, but I think everything's fine. And the resident came in about 2 minutes later, and I remember what those 2 minutes, I was just like, oh my, like I knew something bad was about to happen, but I was preparing myself for that it wasn't. I was really just trying to convince myself that it was fine. It was fine. And the resident came in and put the ultrasound machine on me, and I looked down at her, and she just looked up at me and just said, I am so sorry. There's no heartbeat. And still was very sad, obviously. Ever when I think about that moment, it can make me cry. And it was the sound came out of me that I didn't know I could make. And it was just so sad. And we still didn't know what the sex of the baby was either. So and but right when they said that, I knew it was going to be a girl. And so they So when they, after they found that out, they put me in a room far down the hallway with no other moms or babies around, which was very kind. And they put a thing on your door to make sure that, you know, that they know that the baby has died, which is just so sad. When we go back down to the room, then the doctor came in and everyone was very kind and loving and supportive. And I really it was just a haze. I don't even remember most of it. I mean, I remember some of it, but it was just I couldn't believe it was happening. I didn't feel like they were talking about my baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't my baby that they were talking about. So then we decided, this whole time I was 41 weeks pregnant, and this whole time I was trying to have a natural birth because I had a C-section with my son. And when all this all happened, I was only 1 centimeter dilated, and I couldn't wrap my head around having the baby naturally. So we had a C-section, and in the room, it was quiet. It was still. It was so still, and there was no happiness or anything like that should be happening when you have a baby. And at 3:15 on December 9th, 2017, Scout Elizabeth Veer was born, and she was just perfect. She unfortunately had a double knot in her umbilical cord that caused her, once my contractions started, caused the cord to get pulled too tight and then she wasn't able to receive any oxygen. So when my contractions started was when she passed. And so then also, it was the first snow of the year when she was born. So after she was born, I obviously took my baby, and they pushed us back to the room. And when they pushed us back into the room, it was this beautiful snow that was happening, and it was beautiful. And I remember I was so proud of her. I was so amazed by her and so proud of her. And I just couldn't understand why I only got to spend 24 hours with her on Earth. And I still sometimes struggle with that. But it was a very special time. And we had pictures taken and family come and meet her and hold her. And we spent the full 24 hours that we could. I even tried to figure out if I could just take her with me. Yeah. They were like, you can't do that. But I just it's just really challenging losing a child. And she was so very wanted, and she was just, yeah. So, but we still very much honor her and include her in everything that we do as a family. And even tonight, my son was putting an ornament on his tree, and he put one for his, he said, I'm putting an ornament on for my sister. And so Scout is definitely, she's about to be 2 this December. And it is pretty amazing everything that I've been able to do since she has passed, and what she has taught me. And I'm really proud of her and of what she has taught me.
I'm really proud of you for sharing that story. I've known you for a long time, and I've never heard the actual story.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's a pretty one. It was. And as much as I remember when my cousin came to visit her, and I Scout was dressed, but she had some skin that was starting to come off of her. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was like undressing her to show my cousin her feet because her feet were so big. And I was like doing it. And then as I was doing it, I was like so proud of her. I was like, look at this, look at this. And then I was like, wait, like, she is not feeling. Yeah. She's like, this is a dead baby right now. Like, and I was, yes. And I was like, but I remember just like, it was Scout. It was my daughter. She was there. And like, I just wanted to show her to everyone. But yes. But let me think about this. So the first year after her, or the first, I would say 6 months were a haze. I didn't want to go out socially or...
How can you do anything? Like,
right.
Do you remember, like, how... I remember seeing you and you had... you were dieting and you were, like, so proactive on life and you had lost all this weight. And I was like, how are you doing any of this?
Right.
It makes no sense to me. Like, how does it feel to have a child at that same time that you need to care for and show love to?
Yeah, so that was challenging with Gus, and also explaining it to him too, because he was 2 years old, and
yeah.
He thought when we were going to the hospital to have the baby, and we were going to bring home a baby, and he did not come and meet Scout, and that's something that I wish would have happened, but it didn't happen, and that is. I don't like to say regret because you can't really regret things when you're in.
You're doing the best you can in the moment.
You're in the middle of. Yeah, exactly. But it was something that when he did come to the hospital, it was a horrible experience for him. He did not want to see me. He was sad. He was confused.
Yeah.
So he came over. He came after she had passed just because I wanted to see him because I needed to see him. Because after she died, I was worried everybody was going to die that was close to me.
Really?
Yeah. I was worried. I worried that I was going to die during the C-section. Like, I thought I had asked the doctors before they started. I said, I'm not going to die, am I? Like,
yeah.
And they reassured me. And they also then said, like, this is a normal thing that happens when somebody has died, like, for you to think that, too. Well, I don't know if it was normal, but they said it was normal, so it made me feel better.
Trust it was.
But anyways, yeah. But explaining to him also, like, where Scout is now and what she's doing and because he'd ask, like, where is she in the sky? Because we said she went to heaven. And, but he would be like, is she over there? Is she over here? Or where is she? And then as he's like grown, he's like realized like he said that Scout's favorite color is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So yellow is a big representation of Scout and, different family members have different things that remind them of her. Like, my niece, when she sees a yellow car, she says Scout, like, and it makes her feel like Scout's, like, thinking of her. And when Gus sees yellow flowers or butterflies, he always says Scout and, like, says hi, Scout. And just, like, makes it, just finding ways to have her connect with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And finding her ways of being included and being involved with our family while not being here present. Like,
is it hard for you to not, was it a hard decision for you to make? Like, do I continue to have her really present in our lives or do we just move on?
Yeah, that wasn't hard because I knew, like, there was no way that I could not include her because I birthed a baby.
Yeah.
And I had a baby. And even though she never lived on Earth, like, I mean, she lived Earthside in my stomach, but even though she never lived out of my stomach, she still lived and she still had a life.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's, I, And even today, when there's sometimes when I when people ask like how many kids you have, which is a horrible question. No one should ever ask that. So no one asked that.
Yeah.
Or do you want to have kids? Well, maybe I do want to have kids, but what if I had five miscarriages and you don't know about it? So don't ask the question.
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot from people. You don't have kids. You don't get it.
Right. Which is another thing. Like, yeah, but you don't. I don't know. But my thing is, like, there was no way that I could not include her.
Yeah.
That's what I felt inside.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what is another thing that they don't talk about necessarily, too. As you're at the hospital, you have after you give birth to your child, if they're stillborn, you have to decide then, do you want a funeral? Do you want her to be cremated? What do you want to do?
Like in that moment,
within 24 hours, because you have to decide where the body is going.
Oh my gosh. So
yeah, so we had decided that we wanted Scout to be cremated, so she is cremated and she's at our house, and that's what we felt like that would be the best thing for us. And we didn't have a funeral for her, but like that was an option. But there was like no way that I could think of having a funeral when I was thinking I was having a baby. Like I was like, you know. So
what else don't people talk about? Or did they not tell you?
Oh, like that your milk comes in. Your body still thinks that you just had a baby. So all your milk comes in. And that is,
God.
Yeah. And they said to me, you can donate it if you want to. But the thought of doing that was just too hard for me. I couldn't do it. So it was like everything to stop the milk to grow in, coming in. And then also like, what else don't people talk about? There's a lot of things. they also don't ask you after you had a stillborn, like they don't even recognize it, like as a baby sometimes. So that's where some of the resistant or not resistant. That's where it's really tough sometimes, because I had a man. I was on a walk. And I was walking up close to where we planted a tree for Scout, and I was up close to it, and a man walked by, and I said, this tree's for my, we just started talking, and then I said, yeah, this tree's for my daughter, like, and he was like, oh, this and that, and it's like, and then he was like, well, she didn't live, and I was like, okay, well, in your eyes, she didn't, and I have to, that's the thing with grief and everything, is like, everyone is coming from their own point of view and their own experiences and what they believe is true to them. Yeah. And you have to let them believe that. And I can then educate people on what I believe is true and what is good and what not as good necessarily, what I believe is my truth. And I believe that Scout lived. And I believe that Scout is still like living, but not living the way on Earth. I don't know. I feel like sometimes, yeah.
Her spirit is still alive.
Her spirit is so alive. I see her name constantly. Like, and I mean, people will send me pictures or things when they see her. And like, to think that someone that is a friend, like from grade school, saw a picture and thought of Scout and thought of me. Like,
yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Like,
that's a really great point. I think about her all the time.
Right.
I think about you all the time.
And I like it too, because sometimes people tell me that they think of her as like a lucky charm.
Yeah.
And as a luck, like they think of her and they like she brings her luck. And that like is so like I can't even describe
really
what
cool
that
and,
word is.
And and reassuring, she's touching so many people's
lives. She is. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of to be her mother.
You said you said you were so proud of her.
Yeah.
When you guys were sitting, can you talk more about that?
Well, when she first like came out and like when it was a C-section and I saw her at first, I was a little like. I was angry and a lot of different things. But when I then went back to the room and was holding her and was with her, I was like, this is like, we made this. Like, we made this human. And like, I can't even.
Are you still angry now?
Yeah, definitely. I get angry that people get to keep their babies. I sometimes get angry when I see pregnant people because I just want to be pregnant. But I've been learning that I need to shift those thoughts and things so I can try to so it'll be better for me. And it'll be easier for me because when I'm having those like angry thoughts or mean thoughts or things like that, that's just bringing me down more. And that doesn't help with where I am. So I am learning that I need to see, that's the thing, too. I feel like you don't know people's stories by just seeing them. So I could make up a story about that pregnant person, but that pregnant person could have had a stillborn, too. Like, you know, or that pregnant person could have taken 5 years to get pregnant, or they don't even want to be pregnant. Or like, there's just so many different things that you really just can't. And that's what I'm learning, that I need to be present in my life and what I'm doing and not doing the comparing, not doing all that stuff. Because when you do the comparing and the shoulds,
it's got to be insane. I mean, I do that as I think we all do all the time, just as people in life. And it just brings you down no matter where you are in life or what you're going through.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not going to help. And I think you've gone through the worst thing a parent can go through.
Yeah.
A person can go through. I can't imagine, Laura. I know you very well, and you've been through so much. And I'm very proud of you. To see you still functioning and so positive all the time is amazing.
Well, thanks.
And you have such a knack for design as well. Your house is so beautiful.
Well, thank you. Well, and you know what? Something I'm very proud of is that we raised, we were the top team in Ohio for an organization called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. And they come and take pictures or edit pictures for free for families that have stillborns. And we were able to raise money and be the top team in Ohio this year, which I was just really proud of. And I'm just really proud of the work that I'm putting in to get better and to feel better and like what I'm doing.
So what happens after this happens? We were talking about this earlier. Is life still goes on. No matter what you're going through, life still goes
on. And you want everyone to stop. Yes. I mean, this happened on December 9th. So I wanted Christmas to be over for everyone.
Yeah.
And my birthday was December 15th. I didn't want my birthday. I wanted it all to stop. And everyone kept going and everything kept happening. Yeah. And it was like, why doesn't everybody stop? Did my baby just died? Like, and but it's like one of those things where it's just like, yeah, it keeps going. And there's more babies that are dying or more like hardships and things. And it's like you have to, I mean, the present moment is so key in my recovery and the way, not recovery, I don't like to say, in my life right now. And just being like, being in the moment and trying to be,
Is that what you're focusing on now?
Yes. Well, I'm focusing on that, and I'm focusing on meditation, too, because that was a big thing that helped me. And I'm focusing on relaxing and trying to actually relax.
Have you been able to do that, really, in the past? It'll be 2 years coming up here?
Yeah. I think in some ways I have, because I think it's important too, because like we, like after you have a child, like after you have birth, give birth, like they say, usually you can wait 3 months and then you can start trying again. So like we wanted to try right away after Scout, because I was like, I want a baby like right now. And in that process of like trying again is very like challenging, because it's like you want this thing right now and it's like not happening, and then you're like trying to figure out ways to make it happen and it's not happening, and then you like try to go to the fertility doctor and then that didn't really help, and then we did find out we were pregnant this summer, and then we had a miscarriage 5 days later, and that ended with my miscarriage lasted 3 months, which was just like a process in itself. So that was just this October that it was finally finished. And that's why I feel like sometimes I maybe haven't done the rest as much.
Do you experience
that? I feel like I just threw that miscarriage in there.
You see my face right now? I'm like, well, I don't. Are you still able and capable to experience real joy?
Yeah, I think that is something that I experience now in true sense of what joy is.
Really?
Yes. Like, yes. Like 100%. That's the thing with grief. Like with just when you have these struggles and things, like I feel like the happier times are like so much more happier.
Yeah.
And like the sad times are so much more sadder, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But
you kind of been stripped down a little bit to like the bare human feelings, and you're feeling all of them.
Yeah, and then everything else comes up too.
Yeah.
That you didn't deal with. So it's like, here you go. Here's this. Here's that. And then you're like, what? I thought I was over that. And then, nope. So it's like a deal. Yeah. I mean, therapy is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think acupuncture is wonderful too. I think
you need to go to boxing.
I've thought about that.
Therapy Natalie, therapist Natalie saying.
Yeah.
You got to get that rage out. Like, I went to boxing for a while, and, like, there were, like, other people in the class, like, yes, I'm on my lunch break. Burning calories is fun. And I was seriously annihilating the bag. Like, die, everyone.
Yeah.
Life. No one understands me.
Yeah.
I did not miss one punch the whole class.
Yeah.
Full force the whole time. But it was so relieving. It was so stress relieving.
Yeah. I think some of that, I don't know if the anger part of it, I don't know if that's fully out yet. And I think maybe that's some part of me that I'm holding on to in some ways.
Well,
I mean, screaming in your car is really great.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That is something that I've done. And sometimes you look around, you're like, anybody?
Whatever. I guess at this point, to be like, whatever.
And I've thought about it before. If you did turn and see someone, I would be like, and scream at them.
I just feel like when you go through, when you go through trauma and it gives yourself. You just freely do react to the trauma, how it's passing through you, you know? And then it makes, I always think of like crazy moments in movies where I'm like, oh, now I get what happened in that one movie that I never understood until now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I understand a lot of things and more, or like you give, also, okay, with Scout, like I said, like you can't see that I'm missing a child, like when you just walk around. And which I thought about this before, but now I think about it even more. But what are other people's stories that they're holding on to that they're not letting out or letting people see? And how much is what's like what happened to them, basically?
Yeah.
Like, and but not judging their behaviors or things, or just like curious about like what did happen to them to make them do that or act that way or this or that, you know?
Mm hmm.
So I think about that too.
I'm sure you're such so much empathy and so much compassion.
Yeah.
I find it's got to be hard for you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like to judge anything now.
Yeah, you really can't. Yeah.
How was it dealing with people in your life afterwards who tried to console you or tried to do anything? I know. A lot of people feel really uncomfortable about grief in situations like this, and it's too heavy. And like, I know, like personally, I'm sorry that I didn't do more. I didn't know what. I don't know.
That's the thing. No one. That's like. It's funny that you say that because I, even when bad things happen to other people that are close to me or things like that, I sometimes like did I say the wrong thing? Did I do this the wrong thing? Do yeah. that? And I think I question it more now because I've also experienced the side where everyone says like the wrong thing or says not the right thing. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to, especially in early grief, when people are saying these things,
it's like, how do you deal with people trying to console you or is people saying the right things or the wrong things afterwards?
Gotcha.
No one knows. No one knows what to do in this situation unless they've been through it.
And that is a huge thing because my friend Caitlin came over 3 days after Scout, and it was the first time I felt normal. And she had a stillborn son, and it was the first time I had felt normal in 4 or 5 days because I felt like I at least had somebody that, like, had experienced this. And so finding, like, people that have been through experiences like that you've gone through, I think, is so helpful. But I think the people that don't know what to do or don't know what to say is just be there. You don't have to say anything. And you're not going to say anything that's going to take away their pain. Yeah. You're not going to say the magical, like, words that are going to be so moving or touching that they're going to remember it forever. They're going to remember that you showed up with a casserole. Or that you came over and walked the dog just because. Or you sent the text, like, just thinking about you. Or I love you. Or just, like, trying to show up for that person. That is, like, how you do it. And, yes, there were so many people that said and did the wrong thing. And it did make me mad and angry and frustrate me. But I also then would say they at least were trying.
Yeah.
So it came down, like, in reality, it's, like, it's showing that they care.
Yeah.
You know, even if they say the wrong thing.
Does it make it easier or harder for you now to be there for other people who are going through something that maybe you don't think is as bad? Or, like, what if girlfriend's complaining to you about a bad date or something? Do you find those conversations difficult now?
So in the beginning, yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't handle other people's
bullshit
problems.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that because I was, yeah, you just, like, you can't. And also small talk. Couldn't do small talk.
Yeah.
At all. And I still really can't do small talk. I don't like it. Like, let's just really get down to it. Like.
Yeah.
Or we don't need to talk about the weather. Like, you know, like. Let's be serious. Like, how are you really doing? Like, how are you doing is another thing that is like, well, how do you think I'm doing? Like, you can just say, how are you doing today? And then that's a whole different question. How are you doing is like, how are you doing in general? How are you doing today is just takes it down to just like this. That's a lot. And option B, that book, was a really wonderful resource for me in the beginning. And I recommend everyone reading that for anything.
Life in general
could help you. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I think that people still do have those little problems and those little things that do bother them and that are important to them.
Yeah.
And that's just life. I mean, but that's what's so hard too, because like you don't want to like compare. I don't know. You don't want to. I don't also like when people compare grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like nothing, you can never compare.
No, I agree with you, but I do know that it's hard, at least for me in my experience, when I'm going through something really difficult, I get mad at myself when I can't be there for other people because I will get short with them because I think in that moment their problems aren't as big as mine. Like, don't tell me that you're so mad at yourself. You ate another piece of cake right now.
Yeah.
I can't be my best version of myself to you right now. It's like I have to, and I don't like that. It's like I gotta just not be around you,
right?
Or I don't know. What
and to I do. Think that's what at the beginning. That's why I like hid away.
Why
I definitely hid, and like when it come out.
What was the hardest thing? Do you remember like the first time you went out socially?
I don't really party anymore.
No,
I mean?
I mean, like, was there like a big night you were like, wow, you and your husband went on a date or you dressed up and you felt pretty for the first time or?
No, I none of that felt. No, I didn't do any of that. Let me think about this. What was the I think the first time, I can't even really remember when we first went out afterwards. I know the first thing I did, like, with my son outside was go to the dinosaur exhibit.
Uh-huh.
The dinosaur. That?
Yeah.
I was so proud of myself for going and taking him and with my husband and, like, being there. And we actually ran into one person, but that person had lost her husband. So it was, like, okay to see that it was okay to see that person.
Yeah.
And it was, like, okay, I'm okay. I'm okay. Because that's the thing, when you're out, just when you're out of your house, you don't know what anyone's going to say to you.
Yeah.
Or what's going to trigger you, or what can come your way, you know?
Well, what do you want people to know now? I feel like, to be honest, Laura, I mean, I don't know if this is what everyone thinks, you know, but I'm sure people are like, oh, you know, people always associate you with Laura, gosh, remember she had that stillbirth?
I know.
Like, oh, did we talk about it? What happened?
So that's so funny that you said that, because I recently was thinking, like, I was like, I think people are scared
yeah.
of me.
Yeah, I think
they're scared
so
of me, my story.
Yeah.
They're scared of me. They're scared of my story. But the thing is, I took one for the team.
Yeah.
I'm the one in 167. All right.
Well, so people don't know how to deal with it or show up. You know
no.
what I mean?
I know. And I know. And that's the thing, too, with, like, baby stuff, too. Like, I haven't been able to go to a baby shower.
Yeah.
Because, to me, it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know? And not saying that baby showers are bad, mm-hmm. but my grandma never liked them, and my mom never liked them. And they – so maybe they are bad. but but they – that is just – yeah, I don't know. And there's some other things that I always, like, I haven't been able to buy. I bought a gift. I was able to buy a gift for a friend recently, and I was really proud of that.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give a gift, and I wanted to do it. And that felt good that I was able to do that.
Tell me how you've changed in ways that you're really happy about.
Okay. I have changed by being present. Is number one. Like, I really am focusing on the moment now. Before, and growing up, I had ADD, and I always thought I couldn't focus on anything and this and that. But that is not true, and I'm able to do, like, I'm just able to be present and be in the moment and, like, really learning what that is.
Yeah.
That has changed me a ton. I also am... I know how important self-care is, too. I would, I'd love to help people. I love doing that. I just love helping people. And I have learned that I can't always help everybody now.
Yeah.
And I have to know how much energy I can put into what and what I can and mm-hmm. can't do. And I have to be very mindful of, like, what events I can go to and what I can't because of what I want to put myself into, and I can say no. And I never thought you could say no I mean, I knew you could say no, but I didn't really believe that you could say no.
Mm-hmm.
And now I believe you can say no and do it and stick through it.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And I think I've changed. I think I've been I've become more empathetic too.
Yeah.
Another thing that I definitely am, and let's think about this. I also feel like I've just become more spiritual in a way, too.
Yeah.
That's helped me.
You definitely have. That's, like, at least I've noticed. That's a big change in you.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. You seem to be really liking it.
I do, and I do. I'm proud of the person that I am learning and growing to be, and I will continue. I think some of me thought, like, you know, you got older, and when you were a parent, you, like...
Stop.
Yeah, you figured it out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think we, yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's a childhood thing that we think.
Yeah.
That you just like, I mean, I imagined my life as like when I was like 70 years old that I was going to have a donut every day and like just watch my shows and see my grandkids and that. But now it's like, what? I don't want to do that. I want to maybe like learn to like... what would be an example? Like learn how to not cook. I don't really want to cook, but let's think about this. Like learn a new meditative practice. Learn a new about just learning.
Yeah,
I did. I thought I was going to be done learning.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then you stop. Well, good for you. A lot of people do stop. I would say they give in. So many people give in way too early.
Yeah, I got that. Is yeah.
It seems like this has given you a new zest for life.
It has. It has. It definitely has. It's, you know, what gets you back is always like the timeline of everything that's happening and like when things are, when things happen.
What do you mean?
Like this next baby that we want to have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, why isn't this, like, I thought for sure by Scout's second birthday, I would have a baby in my arms, ooh, like at her birthday. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. And, but it's something that. It just gets like it just gets in the way of
the growth in the process.
Yes, because it's like you. I know I'm having more kids. I know that. But it's like I want to know when it's going to happen, and you can't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that just gets in the way of things sometimes. Of like when you're not that in the way. Well, I think it's just like.
Making goals and the goals aren't happening and it's part of the process.
Yeah.
And it's
right.
Well, you know, Laura, one day at a time, you got to do whatever you got to do to get by.
Right.
I mean, I know it's, I don't think there's a timeline for anything. And I just think you're doing, you're fucking fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm getting up every day and I am trying. So
what are you doing moving forward? What's going on in your life?
Moving forward? So Scout's birthday is coming up on the 9th, and we decided that we're going to do Scout Smiles this year. So okay. We're going to have people give out smiles for her.
Great.
Or in her honor, not for her, in her honor, like either smiling for yourself or that. So that's a big thing that I feel like we are trying to focus on, and her birthday party. Like, we have a birthday party for her, trying to focus that, and then trying to focus on, like, you know, the holidays and moment to moment too, and all of that in between, because the holidays get,
sticky
for sure.
Sticky. Christmas is going to happen forever. Indeed,
it is.
Is it going to be? Were you able to enjoy it last year at all?
I was. As fully as I thought, because we had another unexpected death in the family. And that was jaded. So that, is that the word? Jaded? Is that? Yeah right? Mm-hmm. So that just put another cloud over it. But with having my son, Gus, like, there's so much joy in Christmas in a child's eyes that I was able to be. And then also we adopt a family at Christmas.
Yeah.
And we buy them all their Christmas presents in honor of Scout. So that is something we did last year and something we are doing this year too, which is just really nice and special to be able to give that to a family in honor of Scout. So that is good. And what else do we –
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like you're enjoying life again.
I am. You know, I definitely am finding, like, I went to a yoga class by myself 2 weeks ago, and that was a goal for me for this year, to go to a yoga class by myself.
Heck yeah.
And I did it, and I showed up, and it was wonderful. And I think I'm also just, like, realizing I'm putting myself out there more. I'm trying to tell my story more. I'm trying to talk about it more, trying to educate people about it, and just trying to I'm trying to still bring joy in my life while still honoring my grief.
That sounds really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Do you feel like if you're not grieving, then you're not honoring Scout?
I did in the beginning. That was really tough the first 6 months. Like when I would I actually remember the first time I laughed. I saw this woman. She was just, it wasn't that cold, but she thought it was really cold. And she was just walking on the street. And I can still picture the whole thing because it just made me laugh. Like, and then after I laughed, I was like, oh, I can't laugh. Why am I laughing? Like, why am I laughing right now? And I remember that went away though.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling was definitely there. Yeah. And that's also sometimes you want to hold on to the grief because it's like what you connect it to,
yeah,
the person you lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then also it's like, I don't want to be all these
sad
and negative emotions all the time because that is just like exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, yeah.
But I feel like in just like that, you're like, oh my God, I just want to have fun. Like
right.
I'm sick of being sad and
Right.
All the time.
And that's what I think, yeah. And that's when I wrote down, like, everything I was doing to try to help me to even, like, get up in the morning. And mm-hmm. it was, like, 15 things at first. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, but I've definitely scaled back on some of those things. But I'm finding with this time of season coming up again that I need to, like, increase those right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing myself start to do some of the things that I did, and then I don't want to go down that path because the awareness that I know now and being aware of the way I act and the things I do helps me see that, like, I have the tools, I'm able to work through these emotions and these things, and I'm able to get through them.
Yes.
And I survived. Like, I remember after Scout's first birthday, I thought I was going to be so sad and, like, cry all day. And mm-hmm. I didn't cry that day once. And I felt like I survived. I made it a year without her. And I felt like that was going to, like, I did it. Like, I was so proud of myself for doing that it kind of took away from, like, the sadness of it.
But you've been through is the worst. But they
right.
say, like, it really is the worst of the worst, and you can do it.
Right.
And you can do life. Do you feel confidence out of that?
Yes, definitely. 100%, actually. Yeah. I think I did get a lot more confident because my self-esteem, I think, was definitely something that was not very strong. But I definitely have, even this past these past 2 years, that has grown immense, like, so much.
Yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to go to a workout class in my sports bra.
Yeah.
Always. Okay. Don't have the sports bra body. Some people may say I do, but in my eyes, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But now I work out in my sports bra downstairs in my basement.
Heck yeah.
By myself, but I'm doing it. And I'm like, you know, if Lizzo can do it, I can do it, right?
Yeah. You know what I was going to say is you were talking about goals and going to yoga class. I remember Laura and I went to high school together, and I remember you and I 1 year, we said in the wintertime our goal was to jog in Hyde Park in our sports bras.
Oh, my gosh, that we did.
By spring break. Do you remember that? We were like, yes, we're going to get there, and, like, it never happened.
Oh, no, it did
never
not.
It never happened. And I also found strength through yoga. When I first started going to hot yoga, I would wear long sleeve t-shirts and long pants. And if I was too hot, I would just leave. But I was like, everyone there was wearing bikinis, you know,
right,
in LA. And now I go in a sports bra and I find it so empowering.
So empowering.
No matter what. Like, since I quit smoking, I've gained like 10 pounds and I still go. And I'm like, this is great. And me before that, like 3 years ago, would have been crippled by the thought of that.
Right. You would have ran out of the door. Like, you would not have been able to even face that.
Not even close.
No.
Not even close.
And that's what, and that confidence, like that, like, and that's, I don't know if that's like, I don't give a fuck, too, because mm-hmm. it's like,
I think
it's a part of that, though, because part of it is like, you're like, this life is so short.
Exactly.
Like, If I want to work out in a sports bra, I want to work out in a sports bra.
It doesn't matter.
Or if I want to wear a bikini, I can wear a bikini.
Right? And then you realize, am I holding myself back because of everybody else? And I actually don't care.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then you're like, wait, why am I worried about what that person thinks when I really want to be the one that's in the sports bra?
Mm-hmm.
So I should be the one in the sports bra.
You know, speaking of that, when you're going through your grieving process, did it ever make you self-conscious of like,
well, that too. Yeah. Because I still think people are scared of me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And scared of my story. But I think I'm scared of my story too.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of scary. I actually was like crying about that today because it was like, someone had said to me today how they were so proud of Scout and this and that, and like how that helped her. And I was just like, aren't you scared though? And she was like, what? Scout is like such a good luck charm. And I was just like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
She was my good luck charm too.
Yeah.
In a ways, but like for her to be other people's, where I thought other people's would be scared of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think I need to get over that. She's not like, I'm not scary. My story's not scary. It happens. And And that's the thing too. I think sometimes people think it's like contagious, you know? Not like actually contagious, but like contagious, like that if you're pregnant and around me, then like that could mean like you're going to have the stillborn too.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first to tell you without any medical evidence that is not true.
Right.
I'm confidently going to say that is bullshit.
Yeah. But then it's also like, that's the other thing too, because, like with Scout's story and Scout's like everything, like hers was a birth story too. Like, and like when I find myself like chiming in to say things about different things to people, like when they're pregnant or things like that, I kind of find myself holding myself back sometimes because I'm thinking that if I say something that happened to me, for example, and that is happening to that person, see, this is just so crazy, this is just in my head, then that person thinks that they're going to have a stillborn. But that's just in my head.
It is in your head. But it could also be, I'm sure that's part of people being pregnant, is you think everything could go wrong. You
right.
know? And then sometimes it does. And then are you scared it's going to happen again?
I mean, it can happen again. I mean, no, because I'm not going to think like that, but yes, I'm terrified that it's going to happen again. I'm terrified that I'm not going to have children again.
Yeah.
I'm, as much as I'm so confident saying that I am going to have more kids, I'm also scared that I won't have any more kids or that I won't be able to get pregnant. And that scares me. Yeah.
I think about that too.
Yeah.
And like, if you, I mean, you just, you never know and you never think it's, you always think it's not going to happen to you.
Right.
And you
think
it does.
See, yeah, and I think that's I think that is part of our like the Catholic I don't know, yeah, like our upbringing of that guilt and like that kind of thing that if that. Wait, what did you just say?
I don't really know.
Yeah, because because it was going.
I remember when I was talking, I was like, I was going to say something else, and then
and I was going to say and something then I, else too, and then I brought up the Catholic thing, and I was like, what? No,
really,
this is not what I was trying.
All I'm saying is you're scared of your story, and it's completely understandable.
Yeah,
and I
no,
think one day you won't be.
No, yeah, and I think that's going to take some time for sure.
I think so too. And you, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks.
I mean,
I really appreciate that I was able to tell my story. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, I must say I was proud of myself that I wasn't scared coming into this, but I've been thinking about this for a very long time. And then finally it just seemed right. Like, of course, I'm not going to be scared of these emotions anymore.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it if you want to.
And yeah. And it is. And I was scared too. I was scared of that I wasn't going to say the right thing or that I wasn't going to, it was going to come off the wrong way or this or that. But it was like, if I just be myself and tell my story, then that's my story.
Yeah. Miss Laura Castanelli Vere. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Natalie Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
Love you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you mean a lot. You're the best.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No. I don't think so.
That was amazing.
I mean, do you think it was okay?
I think it was perfect.
So, Laura Casanelli-Vier is perfect. Girl, thank you so much. And anticipate a new updated conversation of 2021. So that was December 19. And now here in May 2021, she gives us an update of what's been happening. And a lot has changed in her life. And the new conversation coming out, once again, she's really funny. She's really candid. And she's a freaking badass. So thank you, everyone, for listening and being along on this ride. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, subscribe, share all the things. And I'm sorry we cuss sometimes. And that's about it. Be brave, be beautiful. And whatever it is you do today, make yourself proud.
Chapter 1, Wayfair welcomes you to the neighborhood. Our hero, Titus Burgess, ambled down the stylish street of an enchanting utopia. A woman waved from a chic lounger. "Welcome to the neighborhood," she said, "where Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love." Titus stared in awe. Bohemian Boulevard, Trendsetter Terrace, Mid-Century Circle.
Titus,
You're
reading the Wayfair catalog.
Oh, you'll love Chapter 2. Wayfair's fast and free shipping saves a potluck.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at